Lorraine, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you, Dave.
Lorraine, what's the idea behind restorative justice?
Well, when we think about restorative justice and how I talk about it, it's a framework of guidelines and values and principles and ways that we can look at how we want to do justice, repair harm, relate to one another, and basically I would say how we build healthy communities in a way that perhaps we haven't seen done in our traditional legal system, in the way that we work at discipline within our schools, which is more of often a punishment model.
What are some of the underlying tenets of the philosophy around it?
How we respond to victims and offenders of crime. I think traditionally victims have often felt left out of our traditional justice system. And so I think it's a way of how we involve both victim, how we involve the offender in what has happened, how we involve community as stakeholders in that, in a way that doesn't just put people behind bars, send them out of our community. A lot of the work that we do when we talk about different programs and how they're implemented is by asking about needs. So we talk about, rather than just punishment, it's about accountability.
Let's focus then specifically on schools. What are some of the restorative practices that can or should be put in place?
So when we talk to schools, often it's a matter of talking about how do we engage schools? How do we start talking about how we build a whole school approach? So that means not just looking at suspensions, which is an important part, so how we, when we suspend people for behavior that they've done that we've considered, you know, that goes against the rules. For instance, if two students were involved in a fight, they often just would get a 3-day suspension. When we talk about restorative practices, we want to say what happens to the relationship between those two students. Just giving a suspension may not necessarily meet the need of the person who was actually harmed, nor does it meet the need of these two when they come back into this community together. How do we address the relationship between them? How do we help students be more involved in, as stakeholders within the school, how do we help them to be more involved in what the policies are? And sometimes that's really difficult because it feels, often for administrators, it may feel like giving up some control when actually it's helping to students have behavior that's going to help them to be more successful.
Lorraine, are there schools or districts that already put much of this concept into practice? And if so, have they been doing so for a long enough time that one could measure its effectiveness?
Yes, there are schools who have been doing this. I think that schools are recognizing, you know, looking at zero tolerance, that that hasn't met the needs of schools or students or our communities. And so what are some alternatives? I think we can't just take things away and say you can't do this without replacing them with something else and providing tools for that to happen. I think there are certainly some statistics that we can look at, that places where they have been doing it long enough, to say that we know that suspensions are decreasing. We know that truancy is decreasing. We know that student behavior is improved as a result of some of the practices that are being implemented under restorative practices.
When we expand from schools to looking at large at the criminal justice model, how would restorative justice be applied as an alternative?
When we look at juveniles, often restorative practices are used as a diversion. And I think there are many community programs that are showing that this has been successful. One of them is, for instance, in Lancaster County, where I live, we have the Center for Community Peacemaking. And one of the things that we do is the victim offender, we call it the Victim Offender Reconciliation Program. And so it's where we bring victims and offenders of crime to talk about what happened. And it's being accountable to the person that you've actually harmed, not just a set of laws that have been decided that you've broken. So it's not just about law breaking, but also about the relationships that's been damaged within our communities.
Lorraine, do you have cause for hope that what you're suggesting there is an appetite for in the political and legal realms?
Absolutely. I would say that the request to engage in these kind of dialogues, I think that people are feeling like what we're doing has not necessarily worked. You know, we talk about it in schools where we say, you know, what does it mean to have to teach someone self-discipline? You know, it goes beyond having someone comply when the authoritarian person is there in the room with them. And I think it's the same within our communities. We don't want them to just do it because the law says so. We want them to have an understanding of relationships and community and what healthy community means. And so I think You know, we hear people talking about ways that they're engaged at the community and within the legal system and within policy, how we talk about that with our policymakers to say what has been happening is not creating healthy communities, and we want to find ways of doing that and how we address it. And I think people are doing that in multiple ways.
Lorraine, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you.
Lorraine Stutzman-Amstutz is coordinator of Mennonite Central Committee's Restorative Justice Program.